Well, this morning, we are looking at Psalm 37. Secure or insecure, which one are you? Have you ever had a conversation with someone who it's very vague? Perhaps you needed a question answered, and by the time you got done with the conversation, you still didn't have the question answered. God does not do that. He clearly communicates in this psalm, plainly contrasting the plight of the wicked and the blessings reserved for his holy children. Our Lord is crystal clear, and by the end of this psalm, we will either be found obedient and saved, or we will not. We will be without excuse. There is security in those who love the Lord and who are His. A sign that is recognizable by His children. And then it's contrasted by the wicked who fail to trust in the Lord. I knew a woman once I did Bible study with. Unfortunately, she was not a believer. And she had every worldly possession that you could possibly want. And yet when we came to passages that would point to us about, you know, your hope and your security should be in nothing less, not in man, not in riches, not in anything in this world, she just declared her security was in her wealth. She would tell me, she said, "You don't understand how smart my husband is, how much he's prepared for the future, that he's got everything taken care of." I'd like to open first to Psalm 146, which I think is a very good parallel to our psalm this morning. And just listen or follow along and think about that trust and where yours is. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens up the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." How foolish it is for us to trust in anything but the unchangeable, immutable God. If we don't understand or acknowledge that now, we will one day as we stand before His throne, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Psalm 37 vividly paints this poetic picture of the plight of the wicked and the blessings of the righteous. If you will bow and pray with me. Dear God, I thank you so much for the privilege of being here, of having the freedom in this country to openly open our word, your word, to us. Lord, help us not to neglect that great privilege. Lord, I pray that we would take every thought captive now, and that whatever is on our to-do list or plaguing our thoughts or our mind, Lord, that we would just center now on you and your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us teachable hearts, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, that you will convict us where we need to be convicted. And that each woman will come away from this place changed by your word. In your blessed and holy and righteous name, amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 37 and read with me silently along. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked has drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance, but the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives, for those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Well, there are six divisions that we're going to look at in this psalm. The first division, David calls for trust despite the presence of evil. The next two verses, 9 through 11, David describes the impending judgment on the wicked. And then from 11 to 22, there are five contrasts concerning the wicked. On the fourth division, 23 to 31, the wicked versus the righteous and the consequences therein. And then 32 through 38, the psalmist concludes, giving us a picture of the struggle between the wicked and the righteous. And then the sixth division, the last two verses, in a world of wicked people, the Lord is our stronghold and salvation. Let's unpack this one at a time. The first division, where David calls for trust despite the presence of evil. One should not be envious of sinful people and their prosperity because they will wither like the grass. Psalm 103 tells us that men are like grass. Now I want you to think back to last summer. Remember the heat? How long did it take when you couldn't water the grass or the flowers for it to wither? Our life is short and transitory. Isaiah 40 reiterates that all flesh is like grass, repeating over and over that the grass withers, the flower fades, only the Word of God stands forever. 1 Peter again tells us that all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. Man's glory, however impressive from a worldly standard, is extremely short-lived and fails to impress the God of the universe. Let's take a diversion for just a moment and look at verse 6. This is an example of parallelism. Now, when we study this in the fall, I honestly have to say I was quite confused. And I hope that this example will help you with this illustration that it did for me. Read verse 6 with me. It says, He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. I want you to think of parallelism as a country dance. In a country dance, you might take three steps to the right and then three steps to the left. And that is, you take three steps and then three steps again. But that is the parallelism. It is the characteristic other in the Hebrew form, the same as the other. I don't know if that helps you, but it did for me, for those of us that are not literary experts. Well, let's continue looking on at this first division. There is a promise. Here's the promise. He will give you the desires of your heart based on one condition. Are you listening? If you delight yourself in the Lord. We seem to focus oftentimes on that first phrase, but it is a conditional. If you delight yourself in the Lord, one who delights in Him will have righteous desires. God tells us to rest, to be still, to fret not, to wait patiently. You wouldn't think that resting would be so laborious for us. And yet, for some of us, we must train ourselves to rest. How do you do that? Practice. Training yourself to be disciplined, to be still. Make it a priority to take time to be still. Schedule it in your day. Meditation on God's Word is commanded by our Father for the loving provision of His children, who knows best what we need. It's the same as if, you know, a mother trains their child to go to bed at a certain time that they would get their physical rest. May we not be the child who fights against her Heavenly Father who knows what we need. Fretting only leads to anger, which does not achieve the righteousness of God. Our second division, David describes the impending judgment on the wicked. You can almost hear the psalmist say, "How long, O Lord?" His timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. He is not slow, as some think. We are a society that taps in front of the microwave to get things done. It's just, you know, nothing is fast enough for us. God will avenge. He will bring about justice. The question is will we wait? And why is it, my sisters in Christ, that we so overly concern ourselves with how apparently well the wicked, the unbelievers, are doing? We are not to be envious of sinful people and their prosperity, for they too will quickly wither like the grass. God is quick to forgive. We often are not. Do we rush to forgive? Or do we like to indulge in some self-pity and punish wrongdoers? Are we gunny sackers? Do you know what I mean by that? Women are great at this. We're like elephants. You know, we never forget what someone has done against us. Perhaps your husband was in a rush or something going out the door and was a little insensitive or harsh. And, you know, you just got that sack and you just put it in that sack and you remember that. And then you've got that disobedient child or one that was, you know, snippy. Nobody has snippy kids, right? I had three. None of them ever were snippy. And then, you know, even if they ask for forgiveness or if they don't, then at various times we can just pull out of that sack and we can bring that right back up to them. But remember that I've already told you this, like, you know, 100 times and everything with that gunny sack. You know, that is just pure disobedience, ladies. Because God says that we are not to let the sun go down on our anger. So, you empty that gunny sack every night before you go to bed. Or, better yet, just tear it to shreds, get rid of it. God's compassions are new every morning. Are yours? God is slow to anger. Now, think back. We just got through the holiday season and everything, and you had a list to do that, you know, was Wonder Woman could only have accomplished. Get us behind a slow car or in a shopping mall or even in our own home with our own family, and we often are not. But that's what God calls us to do. As we continue to look at the second division, God tells us he will cut off the wicked. His justice will prevail. This is contrasted by the truth that the meek, not the weak, but the humble, will inherit the land. It's a one-way ticket to heaven, eternal life. The meek is not weak, but think about this as strength under control. Think about our ultimate example of that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as he steadfastly went towards the cross. He could have called on legions of angels, as if he needed them at all, to stop the hatred, the abuse, you know, hurled towards him, but he did not. That is strength under control. That is meekness. That is humility. Why? Because he knew what he was accomplishing and he knew the glory that was before him. Our third division gives us 5 contrasts concerning the wicked. The wicked devise evil against the righteous, but the Lord laughs at them. What a scary thought that is, isn't it? The wicked attack the meek, humble, but their own violence will destroy them. These verses give us a glimpse of what awaits. In our human frailness, we are often so short-sighted. I love Pastor Pennington's analogy of the little boy who has the lollipop and you offer the little boy a $100 bill and he holds on to, you know, the lollipop. Are we like that little boy who can see no farther down the road, no eternal focus, that we cannot see the glories that lie before us in view of the temporary trials that besiege us. Verses 8 through 10 reiterate that thought. As we contemplate this, turn with me in Luke 16, verses 20 to 25. We're actually going to start in 19. This is the story, you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I thought this was such a great picture of exactly what this psalm is depicting. Verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. And he was longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling at the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Better to have a little than to be wicked with much, for their wealth will be lost. Our last two points under those five contrasts is the Lord knows and protects the way of the upright, but the wicked perish like grass and smoke. The wicked selfishly keep what they borrow, but the righteous are generous, and the Lord will repay with justice and inheritance. Our fourth division, the righteous and the wicked and the consequences therein. The Lord establishes and protects the way of the righteous. That should give you great assurance. The Lord provides food for them, not steak, but manna. And perhaps you say to yourself, but I would rather have steak or whatever your preference is than mere manna in your life. Learn as Paul did to be content in whatever God has given you, in the provisions of life, food, shelter, family, etc. Your Heavenly Father knows what is best for you. It was the Lord who provided the manna out of nothing for 40 years for His people. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Does He love you any less? Verses 23 and 24 remind us that it is the Lord who will hold your hand in the midst of falling. The question is will you be that stubborn little girl who refuses to hold her father's hands in time of trouble? The Lord protects and loves the just who do good, giving them security in the land. The righteous speak wisdom because the law of God is in his heart. If you are like that little girl who refuses to give her hand, consider just how self-dependent are you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Are you frightened for your finances? Who isn't? Look at verses 25:26. Does not God provide for his own? Is God not our Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides? Our fifth division, the psalmist gives us a picture of the struggle between the righteous and the wicked. The wicked lie in wait to destroy, but the Lord will not forsake his own. The wicked will flourish in the eyes of the world, but will be cut off. One who waits on the Lord will enjoy security. There's our word, wait, again. You think the Lord's trying to get our attention? Do you want not to be overwhelmed? The upright woman of peace will have a future. Look up. Choose an eternal focus rather than a temporal, earthly, fleshly, circumstantial one, and you won't be overwhelmed. Our sixth division, in a world of wicked people, the Lord is our stronghold and salvation. The question which begs an answer is, who is the Lord to you? Is He your stronghold? Is He your salvation? How do you know? Do you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior? According to Scripture, we are all in desperate need of a Savior. All fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Do you understand what the word wicked means? We tend to think of wicked, which means evil by nature or practice, as reserved for the most heinous of men. Winston Churchill called Hitler evil. We think of the worst criminals, Ted Bundy, etc. But we do not think of ourselves as wicked, evil, yet without Christ. It is an accurate description without our Lord. The word wicked is used 321 times in the Bible, 90 times in the Psalms alone. Who are the wicked? Jesus calls the hypocrites wicked. There's not an exact equivalent in Hebrew for wicked. The closest it comes is the word ra, which means bad and has the idea of destruction. It's the picture of something for a specific use. Think of a bowl. You know, maybe you have a favorite bowl that you like to mix your cakes or whatever in. And that bowl has the intention, the purpose for that particular mixing your cakes or whatever. And it's the picture of shattering that bowl into just pieces that could never be fixed, of destructing it completely, rendering it useless. This is the picture of taking away from God's word, adding to it, inserting our own way to heaven, our own traditions, our own thoughts of working our way to righteousness. It is a life lived for oneself. Pursuit of happiness or comfort, not living for the purpose that we were intended to glorify our Lord. As we close, and as you do this self-examination, because we can fool the whole world, but we will never fool the God who knows the number of hairs on our head or our thoughts and every word that we're going to speak before we even say it. I leave you with some homework. And that's on your handout there. Fret not. James 1:20 says, refrain from anger. It is a choice. No one can make you angry. Did you know that? It is always a choice. You have a choice. Be silent. It is possible. Stillness of waiting, waiting patiently, no more tapping in front of the microwave. Do good to those who hate you. Luke 6:27, Proverbs 25:21 tells of loving those who hate us, loving those who persecute us. God tells us that we are no different than the unbelievers, the pagan, if we love those who love us back, who are only good to us. We are known by His children as those who love the ones that do not love us and persecute us. Hope and trust in God. Get your eyes off of people and circumstances. Commit your way to the Lord. Let Him sit on the throne. He does a much better job of it. And then, in summary, the evildoers versus the righteous. The evildoers wither quickly. The righteous inherit the land. The evildoers fade where we have abundant spiritual prosperity. The evildoers will be cut off. We will be sustained by the Lord. In a little while, they will be no more. We have a forever inheritance. His day is coming, but we have abundance in famine. The Lord laughs at him. Guilt is a weighty thing, but the righteous will not be ashamed. The sword will enter into the wicked's heart, but we will inherit the land. That's mentioned four times. Their bows will be broken, but the Lord helps those who stumble. Their arms will be broken. We will not be forsaken. The wicked will perish. We will not go hungry. The wicked will vanish. We will abide forever. The wicked are bad borrowers. We are given sure steps. They are cut off. This is mentioned three times. No condemnation for us. The wicked was no more, and we will have posterity, receive strength in times of need. He helps us. He's our deliverer and our refuge. And for those of you that are overachievers, some of us did this already in our groups, but I just thought I gave you the verses there to find the promises, because if you are in a hard place, it's really good to remember the different promises that the Lord has given us. And finally, God always does His part more abundantly, more completely, more wholly than you ever will. He loves you with a perfect love. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His throne room is always open. Will you not trust Him wholly today for salvation, for your life on earth, and for the daily trials and hardships? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that you have written in your word what you expect of us. And Lord, that it's not us, it's you. It's all you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have saved us and that you have loved us and you will continue to sustain us. Help us, Father, to increase in our love for you and our trust for you. And Lord, we don't know what's around the corner, but you do. So help us, Lord, to have sure steps. We praise you, Lord, for only you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.